As you can see, the sermon title for today is Growing as a Christian, and I hope that we can stand up here and give you a message that will help you in your life. But, you know, we know that it's spring and things are springing up, growing. Everything looks so beautiful and in this world right now, and I'm sure there are many here who are planting quite a few flowers and gardens and everything. And how many of you here are doing some planting? Quite a few, I'm sure. Okay, and we know that that's a blessing in its own way, but we also know that there's some among us who probably can't grow. There's somebody who's probably good at killing plants. Is there anybody here that... that does that? Okay, we've got a few of those too, all right. So, but we do have some amongst us who have that green thumb and provide in so many ways. I think we've had some in our sanctuary here today, especially me, who have benefited from the green thumb of John and Robin and their beautiful garden that they have, and we thank them so much for all that they do. But, you know, it's good that we grow things because, you know, without that we wouldn't survive, I guess, right? We got to have food to eat, and it's always wonderful to have flowers to enjoy. But, you know, when we we grow in our life, you know, we start out in our life, and we start out with, you know, very little cares or responsibilities, and we begin life with nothing, but we're happy with that, or the babies are, I should say. The adults sometimes have to work at it. And as we get older, we begin to grow in different ways and want different things, and we grow according to our surroundings. We gain knowledge and begin to make the decisions about what it is we want to do with our lives, and at some point in this process of growth, we become accountable for the decisions that we make. And at some point in our life, we learn about God, and then we decide if we want to become a Christian. Well, you know, I was thinking about the baptisms that we've had here over the years, and the differences of age and that we've had. You know, we've had baptisms for kids under 10, and we've had baptisms for adults over 100. So, you know, you think that's a pretty big span there. And I think that it shows that becoming a Christian can come at different stages of your life, depending on when the seed of Christ is planted in you or how it grows. So, you know, we think, how many times a day or in our life is a seed planted that can grow in us and through us and do things in this world? And if you think about it, you know, we plant seeds or seeds are planted in our life when we have a need, especially when we have a need. And maybe it's a seed that will help us grow in knowledge, or maybe it's a seed that will help us grow spiritually. And we can either want to have that change in our lives or need to have a change in our lives. And whether we do it or someone else helps us to do it by offering a seed, we know that, or we try to make it grow into something special that will inspire and help us in our lives and maybe help others through our lives. So we know that seeds are planted and different things happen, but what does a seed need to come to maturity? And of course, you know, you got to have soil, and you got to have water, and you got to have sunlight and time, of course, to grow, and temperature to help that seed grow. And you know, when we think of it as we grow as Christians, we need the same things. And we'll look at Luke chapter 8 there, if you want to turn to Luke chapter 8 there today. We're going to talk about the parable of the sower of the seed. And, you know, we know that good soil determines the health and the strength of a plant, and that soil is the foundation to grow any seed. And we also know that Jesus is the rock that our Christian foundation is built upon. He is our cornerstone, and any spiritual growth in our lives is determined on how much we depend on Jesus for our spiritual health and strength. So we look at this parable that Jesus gave us to consider the foundation of our faith and what affects our growth and when a seed is planted in our life. So if we look at Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4, we reread, "And when many people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bore fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?' And he said, 'Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing that they might not see, and hearing they might not understand.' Now this parable is this: the seed is the word of God. By those by the wayside are they that hear, then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who for a while believe, and in a time of testing fall away. And that which falls among the thorns are they who, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they who, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." Well, we know that seed that, as it says there in the verse, that falls by the wayside, at first it's not even in the soil. And so it's unable to grow. And as he said there, the birds will come and devour it. We know that if we are unable to be grounded in God's word, that, you know, the devil will come and he'll eat us alive because of our lack of the understanding of how we can live and grow for Christ. So that's why there are so many people in this world that are controlled by Satan due to their lack of belief. The devil does all he can to keep us from believing. Satan knows that it takes time to grow, and all he asks is for one day at a time. In other words, after you hear this sermon today and you walk out that door, if he can persuade you to ignore the message and do nothing about your eternal welfare, he will be satisfied. And he doesn't ask you to never go to church again. He just wants you to reject Jesus now, to put off your salvation, and then there are 10,000 ways in the next 24 hours that you can die and go to hell. And that's what he's looking for. You know, and I can just hear the devil talking to you today as you're walking out the door. He's saying, you know, well, Joe made some pretty good points today, you know, and that was something I probably should consider, but, you know, Joe's not even a preacher. Maybe I'll just wait till next week when Craig comes back, you know, and then I'll decide what I need to do with my life. So, you know, hopefully that you will hear these words today, and it will help you to make a decision in your life. And it won't be because of just me bringing the message. Well, verse 13 tells us that some seed fell on a rock and had no root to absorb moisture to allow it to grow. Not being able to put down roots is certain death, definitely for the seed and even for us. Not being able to receive God's word will ensure your future will be dark. I kind of liken this rock to mean someone who has a hard heart. They hear God's word but don't accept the truth that they are a sinner and in need of God's grace. They abandon the doctrine and never accept him, or they may hear his word but not take the nourishment that it gives. Their roots just don't get established to where they can grow, whether it's a lack of knowledge or a decision to just not work on growing. And I believe that this is where so many believers and even Christians end up. We don't study the Bible like we should. We don't memorize verses, or we just attend church on Sunday and take the rest of the week off. And, you know, I say we here because I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I do attend on, you know, when we have Wednesday services, and, you know, I look at this as kind of like a Sunday school to where we can get into the Word more, and we do that on Wednesday nights. We discuss the Word, we ask questions, Craig answers questions, and it's a good discussion that we have. And to me, that's a better way of getting a better understanding for the Scriptures in your life and how they apply to you and how they will help you grow. Verse 14 tells us how seed falls among the thorns, being someone who has too much in the riches and pleasures of this world to let it go so that they can produce fruit. These riches and pleasures may cause someone to abandon their concern for their soul and hold to the earthly things that rule their lives. We should recognize that all that we have comes from God and thank him for it. The chief aim of man is to glorify God, and that includes realizing how he blesses us with everything in life. And we don't have to give up all that we have, but we shouldn't let those possessions take control of our life either. Christ told us to pick up our cross and follow him, and that may mean that we shouldn't worry about what will happen if we give something away that is near and dear to us. Real followers of Christ take risks. They don't worry at the cost of following him, but concentrate on the rewards. God proves himself faithful if we just trust in him. Our seed can never produce much fruit if we allow the thorns and the thistles of greed or impure desires to take over. Those thorns need to be plucked up by the roots and burned. And those thorns can also be the worries of the world that keep us from concentrating on what God offers or keeps us from growing by blocking out God's light. Well, verse 15 tells us that if the seed falls on good ground, it may be a person who honestly takes God's word into their heart and considers how they can keep it and bring forth fruit. Only a person with an upright heart, a tender heart, a good and honest heart will hear the word and understand it, receive it and keep it. Just as the soil receives the seed and nurtures it, a good heart will receive the full message of the gospel and use it in a way that will help to grow their faith. And maybe not even their faith only, but also the faith of others by working through your life. By allowing God's word to grow in your heart and in your life, you become an ambassador of Christ, a disciple. And that's our duty as believers, is to take God's word out to those who are lost. So if you believe that you have that seed in your heart, you are to use that Holy Spirit to spread the word of God and plant as many seeds of his word in others for the kingdom of God. Well, let's turn over in John to John chapter 12, if you will. And we're going to look at verses 23 to 26. Okay. So what is the seed that is planted in you, and how are you nurturing it? There are many kinds of seeds which grow to become something that can benefit so many people. Jesus spoke of the seed of love that he brought to us. And we read about that in starting in 12:23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it shall abide alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Okay? We know that every seed, you know, produces its own fruit. And we know that we can concentrate our strength on the seed of God's word and his love working in our life. So that love, of course, is Jesus Christ, and God wants us to remember what he did for us on the cross. To serve him and to honor him and to follow him because he gave his life for us. And that's how we honor God, to produce the fruit of the seed that is planted in us. So, you know, we consider the soil. We need to concentrate on having the right kind of soil or attitude to help you grow. We read in Luke today how the seed that fell on good soil yielded a crop 100 times more than its own. And you think of how when you plant a seed, if you plant it the right depth and you give it the amount of water that it needs, and it's in a good place, not in the shade but in the sun. Some seeds grow better in the shade. And, you know, that just shows the difference. But if you're yielding a good crop of love and understanding of God's word so that others are believing, that's the real measure of how you're growing. And the measure of your faith is how you are representing your Lord, so that you're growing yourself, not only growing yourself, but also growing the kingdom. And if our faith is as strong as it should be, then this church would probably need to be added on to, you know, if we had a strong faith and we're growing each and every day like we should be, then we would be overflowing with more members and more people and more kids, and it would be a wonderful thing. But we know that all seeds need water, and we all need the living water that Jesus offers. Jesus said that whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. It will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And we know that we can't live without water. We can only go a few days. And found that out when I was walking on the trail here a few weeks ago, that when it's 80 degrees and you're going up a mountain, you better have enough water. And I had the first day on the trail, I got to tell you a little story. I was walking along and found the real good spring at a kind of a campsite, and I would think I'd walked about 10 miles that first day, and 8 miles of that was uphill, and I decided, okay, this is where I need to stay. But there was a bunch of people coming in to camp in that site, and it wasn't a very good place for me to hang my hammock, so I thought, well, I'll go a little bit farther and I'll find another place. So I went about another mile and I found a place to hang my hammock and thought I'll have some lunch or have my supper first, you know, get that out of the way. And I went to get my water, and I had filled a water bottle at that place where the people were, and started talking to some guys from Ohio who were hiking together. And I set my water bottle down there, and when I got up to leave, I left my water bottle there. So here I am with water, enough water to fix my food, But here, you know, do I walk back a mile and get that water, or do I continue? Well, there wasn't any more water for a few miles, which included the next day getting up in the morning with about 10 ounces of water. And one place that I had to get to and over to get to the water was called Jacob's Ladder. And believe me, it was an uphill place. But I got over that and got the water that I needed. And just shows the importance that we should have that water. And, you know, we can't live without the water that supplies our body the needs that it has. And we can't live eternally without the water that Jesus gives us to drink. And we should remember the water of baptism, where we go under in our old life and rise up a new person who has dedicated our life to Christ. That moment in our life is one that should be a moment of growth. So many people stop here and say, I've done all that I need to do. But really, it should be the moment in your life when you really decide that you're going to grow for Christ and dedicate yourselves. That's what the meaning of the baptism is where we're dedicating ourselves to serve Him. And of course, we have light, and it's important to have all of this moisture and soil and everything to grow seed. But without the light of the sun and the warmth it brings, all seeds would just rot in the ground. We need light to light the path that we walk, or we will just be stumbling around in the darkness without an aim or a purpose. And Jesus said in John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36, and I've wrote it down here, you can look at that. You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. Well, my prayer is today that you all become the children of light and that you are walking in that light, that you will grow in faith and understanding of God's will in your life, and so that any seed you plant will flourish, whether you accept Christ recently or 20 years ago. And you need to walk and grow and produce the fruit that He's given to you. And, you know, we all have different fruits in our lives, different ways that we work for God, you know, and I think of the teens that are graduating high school. We've had Warren and Eastern, our teens in our church, and today is graduation at Federal Hocking, and there will be some young teens, young adults who are planting the seeds of their future, and we need to lift them up, and also anyone else who needs our prayers to help then prevent any weeds from growing in their lives. That is one of the ways that we can help them in their life, to fertilize, to, you know, help them grow in the faith that they need, because they're going out into a world that is not that nice anymore, especially to younger people. And we know of all the things that happen and the violence and everything in this world. So we know that in the garden of our life, there are many obstacles. There are weeds, there's drought, disease, pests, storms that can come against us in so many ways. But there is guidance that we can get from above that will help us to remove these obstacles or reduce the effect that they will have on our growth. And I know that most of you have followed Jesus for many years and have grown so much, but maybe as you've grown, you've picked up a few things that you need to prune out of your life. And that's one way we make ourselves stronger too. If we have something that is keeping us from following Jesus, we should prune it out of our lives. Trim those things that have a little bit of disease in them. That's how you help a tree to grow and produce more fruit, is to prune off the bad limbs or even berries or anything like that. You need to prune it in a way that will help it to grow. And trimming those things will make us to be stronger people, stronger Christians, produce more fruit, and to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to Him. And that's just what we need to do so that those who haven't grown as much will be able to look to us for the direction in their lives. And so we need to rededicate ourselves in some way. If we've already made that decision in our life, we need to show others that we have grown. And, you know, I have a little article here that I've had in my Bible or in my belongings here for some time. And it's called Let's Get Growing. I'm going to read that to you. Your pastor keeps telling you to grow in the Lord. What does he mean, grow? Size-wise, you're a full-grown adult. So what is it he wants? Does he want you to become wiser, more disciplined, smarter, or nicer? Would he like you to know more Bible verses or learn all the right answers to spiritual questions? It's actually much simpler than that. To grow is to get to know Christ better. If you are acting on a desire to learn more about Him, you no doubt see changes or growth in your life. But if the idea of growing sounds unnecessary to you, chances are you're not growing. You may even be doing the opposite, withering away spiritually speaking. We all need to be reminded of the benefits of being a growing believer. To the growing Christian, God promises His Spirit's provision for our peace and our confidence as Christians in a non-Christian world. Growing Christians are also aware of God's work in their lives and can detect His guidance and blessings. They are fulfilled because they know who God is and where they stand with Him. That's a good sign of spiritual growth, a confidence in one's relationship with Christ. Does the thought of seeing Him face to face sometime make you glad? In other words, are you as close to Him right now as you'd like to be? If not, allow yourself some time to soak up scripture passages you haven't read in a while and to reestablish regular prayer. Like the teenager who eats all the time, a growing Christian will have an appetite for God and His Word. Then open yourself to any changes that might follow from a closer relationship with Christ. You'll find that your actions will follow what's going on inside. If Bible reading and prayer can be thought of as nutrition, then lovingly living out our life can be considered exercise. Both are needed for optimum growth. Okay. Well, I'd like to close with this. We are going to get out of here early today, so that's great. Exercise. You know, I actually got quite a bit of exercise in the last few weeks, and I did grow in strength, but I also shrank in size because I lost 8 to 10 pounds in the 7 days I was hiking. So that kind of reminded me of a verse, and I looked it up last night in John 3:30. It says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Okay? And if you think of it, you know, I think of it in this way. When I retired in 2010, I promised myself that I would do all that I could do and live my life and enjoy my life to the fullest for 10 years. And then I would be satisfied to just sit on the porch, you know? And, you know, and I've been doing a lot of that lately, actually. It's been pretty good. But after hiking on the Appalachian Trail there for 7 days for about 97 miles through the Smoky Mountains, you know, that sitting on the porch has been feeling pretty good. But, you know, I've always said that if you want to have energy, you must expend energy. And it will have an equal benefit on your health and your well-being. And I could be happy sitting on a porch. But then again, you should be able to be happy in serving and doing the things that we do in our lives and helping others and, you know, working for God. You know, I guess I've got 2 more years to get to that 10 years. and see what's going to happen. And, you know, maybe I'll be sitting on the porch sooner, but hopefully later, as we all don't want to stop too soon. But if we want to grow as Christians, then we need to exercise our faith in a way that will provide benefits to our Lord. We all know that we're different and that we won't exercise in the same way. I like to climb mountains, but as I've said before, it's not easy for me to prepare these and to give these messages up here. It's easier than it used to be. I guess I've grown some in my life as a Christian, you know, and I'm able to bring these messages about a little easier than I used to be. So I guess my faith, my ability has grown as I get older. But all you need to do is be satisfied that you're doing what you're led to do. And we all have those different gifts. Like I said, it's up to you to grow the gift that you have and use it. So build your confidence in your relationship to Christ, and then open yourself to the changes that might follow. Allow yourself to grow in your knowledge and faith by exercising an area that you're weak in. Dedicate more time and energy to becoming a better Christian. Then you will no doubt experience a change in your spiritual relationship with Christ. Just like the title of the article that I read, Let's Get Growing. So today is the day to start your growth, to plant the seed, to make a decision to change your life. You know, and maybe it's the first decision to follow Christ that you need to make. Or it's a decision to rededicate yourself to grow more. Or it's a decision to get rid of the things that are keeping you from growing. And we all have those. We all have something that's keeping us from doing what we need to be doing. We're all not using the gifts that we have. But that's one thing that we need to do. Wherever we are in this world, in this life, we can still change. We can still move to a better way of doing things, or do our best at least. So with that, I guess that's what my message to you today is, let's get growing. And this is a good time of the year to do it, to start over. You know, we had January where we made our resolutions, and we'll see if anybody's still doing their resolutions now, but you can make resolutions every day to change something in your life. And that's the only way you'll grow if you do that. So let us pray.